Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
So excited to be here with you today. I know I keep saying that, but it's true. This has been a long time coming. Just getting settled in here. This past week has been just quite an adventure, trying to get settled into my office and get everything set up and on course, getting ready for life groups that are launching next Sunday. And I think finally yesterday I came in last night and I just said, okay, I'm going to make myself finish this, because it's just been a little here, a little there, and I'm just going to, you know, get it done. So this morning, feeling good, feeling settled, and more than ever, feeling a part of this amazing church, Casper Faith, and just excited for what God is doing and where he is taking us. I was thinking as we were praying for Pastor Craig and Rebecca, just how awesome it is that we have a God that can be trusted, and how in the middle of crazy circumstances that we know that we're not alone in it. And that's a huge part of what I want to talk about today, of just not being alone, whether that's in community with one another or with God, that there's not an element of our lives that we have to go through alone. So, like I said, I'm excited for it. I'm going to be preaching today on better together. And if you know me, you know that relationships are something that I'm really, really passionate about, whether that's my friendships, my family. I've gotten to lead a bunch of different small groups over the years, and it's something that I am really passionate about, because I believe that God's created me to be really intentional with relationships and to get other people excited about that same process. So we just thought, going into these groups that are coming up next Sunday, that I would share my heart on that, because it's in my blood, this thing, relationships, building God's kingdom through community and pouring into one another. So without further ado, shameless plug, like I said, life groups are starting next Sunday. There's still some space left. Some of the groups are full, but there's a couple of groups that are not yet, and so we're going to have sign-ups out in the foyer after church. You can go online and sign up there. There's information in your bulletin about that. And I said it last Sunday, but I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you to sign up for a group, especially if you've never done it before, because they are life changers. Life groups and the relationships that I've formed within life groups over the years have been a catalyst in my own life. And so I would encourage you and challenge you. And as we're going to learn today, it's part of our responsibility as followers of Christ to be in community with one another. So I'll just let that set with you. Because we want to be as one, a unified body, and being in groups together is a huge part of that community that we set. If this is your first time today, I'd like to say welcome personally. We see you. We know you're here. This is a great Sunday to be here. This is a great Sunday to be walking into these doors as we as a group collectively discover what it means to be doing life together and to be in these groups and to be in these ministries. I know last Sunday we celebrated the Superstar Appreciation. That was, let me just say, that was just a pleasure for me. I was just running spotlight because I was so new. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. But to see a church that has so many active ministries that are doing real, real meeting of needs every week, I was just like, this is the place for me, because that's what I want to do. So it was just great to be there. So, better together. There was a man. He had many sons. This is not the story of Joseph, by the way. But he had many sons. They were all different. They had different interests. They had different tendencies and temperaments and personalities. And when they got together, it was chaos. There was arguments and fights, and people were kind of trying to stand on their own team. No, I'm right. No, what I have to say is the thing that needs to be heard. No, it's me. So the father, at one point or another, had just had enough. He just said, all right, this is my moment to teach a lesson to these boys. So he said, all right, I want you guys to go out onto our land, and I want you to pick one stick, just one stick, and I want you to bring it back. So out they go. I think of it as in kind of this land out here, although there's not many trees, but you could find something. They grab a stick, they come back, and they're like, oh, great, you know, life lessons with dad again. But he says, all right, what I want you to do is put them all together. So they wrap them together. There's a picture of a bundle up on the screens. He said, what I want you to do is I want you to try and break that. You know, so the oldest son, of course, he's the big macho one. He says, I'll do it. Goes up, tries to break it over his knee, can't do it. Breaking it over a brick, can't do it. The bundle remains strong. Younger brother, same process. They all go through it and try to break this bundle of sticks, just little sticks, but it remained unbroken. So then he undoes the bundle, gives a stick to each son again, and says, all right, break your stick. So, of course, they all just break it like it's nothing. His point in saying that was that together, when we work together, there's nothing that can break us. We serve a collective, strong purpose together. But when we're separate, easily broken, easily isolated, easily taken out of our element and just put on our own where we can't survive, we have to stick together as a family. And that is the picture when I think about groups and I think about doing life together, that we truly are better together. The Bible talks about it as well. It's not really my passage for today, but in Ecclesiastes it talks about that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And I love that picture because for me, I don't want to do life on my own. I don't want to do my own thing and just try to survive. We are better together. Another example I was thinking of, really excited. A couple of weeks ago, I started teaching dance again. Dance has been something that I've been involved with for many years now, and I'm a hip-hop teacher. There's a small studio downtown Casper, and I've been teaching with them. And I love a good hip-hop dance. I watch a lot of dance on YouTube, and it's impressive when one person does it, and I enjoy that process and watch them. You know, I always admire people that try out for So You Think You Can Dance or shows like that. Well, when it gets really, really good is when it's a group of people, and they work in synchronization. They work together. I've seen people, you know, create all kinds of cool formations, and to me, that's so much more impressive than just one person doing their own thing. So like the bundle of sticks or like a dance, we as the church need one another. We need each other. We're not meant to go about life alone. And today, that's what I want to talk about. I'm going to talk about the three facets of relationship building that God has called us to. And whether you've heard this kind of teaching before, it's going to be really simple. I'm a straightforward speaker. Sometimes that can be long, so I have a timer up here just in case. But it's straightforward today. Whether you've been coming to this church for years, some of you know me from when my dad was an associate here many, many years ago. I was like 10. Or whether this is your first Sunday, like I said, and you're visiting, it applies to us equally. this process of relationships. It requires building. And I like that because for me, some people go so haphazardly with their relationships, whether it's in their family, a marriage, whether it's friendships. They go about things haphazardly. But the reality of it is that relationships require building. It's an intentional process, and it takes time, thought, and energy. Just in the same way that our relationship with God requires time, thought, energy, and intention. And I understand how it could be so easy to sit through this message today and think, yeah, yeah, I got it. Relationships are good. Let's be together, better together. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I challenge you today to really listen. Sometimes the God has, some of the times that God has struck my heart so deeply, the most deeply, have been in the times when I've heard something a million times and all of a sudden it dawns on me. Oh, we really are better together. And that changes the way I live and it changes the way I go about my day to day. So let's begin. Number one, if you look down into your little sermon insert, there's some blanks. We are called to community. Called to community. God has called us. It's not a suggestion. He doesn't just talk about it, not kinda, sorta, shoulda, likes us to. But he calls us to be in community with one another, to be active parts of this incredible family. I'm gonna talk about that later, what it means to be an active part. We miss out on how God designed us to be if we hold back or hold out from really investing into this community. But before I can really do that justice, we have to look a little bit more clearly at what it even means to be a community. So I looked up good old Webster's. The dictionary defines community as a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. But the definition that I really like is the second one. You know, they have like different versions. It says, the community is a feeling of fellowship with one another as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. Say that again. It's a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. And I love this. I love this so much because it trumps all of the things that normally a church would use to divide us. It trumps our family differences. It trumps your age, your upbringing, your race or ethnicity. It trumps how much money you have. And it says, the thing that's going to bring us together as a church is our common attitude and goal. It draws us to a central focus of that. And that goal, that attitude, that mindset is Jesus. Knowing him and making him known. That's what we're about. That's what brings us together. I just moved from Southern California. It is nothing like Casper. If I were to say, I'm going to hold out on this community because where I just came from is different. That would be such a shame. But I've recognized that this community, the common goal that draws us together is Jesus, knowing him and making him known. And that's what helps us to pour into one another and to pour into the people that are coming into this church every single week. I love 1 Peter 3:8. It says, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. So there's a couple of things that I'm going to go through that community is. Community is an opportunity to build one another up. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Today I'm going to have lots of scripture. One of my mentors, Pastor Herbie Thompson, he's the young adult pastor at Bellevue Christian Center, where I was on staff a while ago. He said that nothing has ever caused change in his life other than the Word of God. So for me, I could tell you a lot of different things today, but unless it's founded on the Word of God, it doesn't mean anything. And I try to use that whenever somebody, a friend, asks me advice on something. I always go back to the Word because I remember that. What I have to say doesn't really matter. What God has to say absolutely matters, and that we use His Word as that structure for it. So it's an opportunity to build one another up. We need to be speaking life into one another and imploring one another. That means to encourage and with an intensity. We need to implore one another to grow in our relationships with Christ and our effectiveness as Christ followers. I'm so grateful to be in this community. I've been so welcomed. I think about different friends that I have, the life group that I've been meeting with, Brother Oren, who's here today, Elsie, the Walters, Lucy, different people in this congregation who have gone above and beyond to really, really make sure that I'm taken care of, that I feel welcomed. So I can say firsthand, this is something that this church is doing really well, but I would challenge you, let's go even further. Let's make sure every person that comes in feels part of this family. So secondly, it's community is a chance to be together in unity. I love how in Acts 2, 1 and 4, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the very foundation of this congregation, the AG that we have that talks about that we all have the opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know how that happened? They were believers that were together the first time it happened. They were all meeting in one place. So community is a chance for that, for us to be together in unity. Being together brings about a greater purpose, just as it did in Acts. It becomes about what is God asking us to do, not just what is God asking me to do. Community is a choice to really do life together. So that's kind of a Christianese term, do life together. If you've been at any church in the last 5 years, I'm sure that you've heard that term, do life together. We do life. But really, if you look at what that means and let it sink into your heart, it changes how you do your relationships. In Acts 2, 42 through 44, it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. I love that, common. Fellowship means our common life together. This means your day-to-day normal lives. One thing I love about the group that I've been attending is that it's not really event-based. We get together on Monday nights, which is awesome. But during the week, we're in each other's lives. We're talking, how's your day going? What's up? Yeah, I just finished decorating my office. It looks great. How's it going? It's an ongoing process. We're not just limited to Monday nights. And I love that they've involved me in the process from the beginning. So when I graduated high school from Buffalo, anybody from Buffalo in here besides my sister who's here? Awesome. I did not know that. Awesome, 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 awesome. I love Buffalo, Wyoming. I haven't been there in forever, but one of these days I'm going to go up and just explore again. But I graduated in 2007, and if there's one thing that high school did to me, it was that it really confused me as to who I was. And a little part of my testimony, maybe sometime, I'd love to sit down with you and tell you my full-on testimony, as I would like to hear from you as well. But I was really lost coming out of high school. I wanted to serve God. I wanted to do the right thing. But ultimately, I'd just been so rejected for being different growing up that I just kind of latched onto anything that I could to get love, attention, acceptance. But as many of you know, that doesn't really make you feel accepted. It just makes you feel like people like me for my fake self. So Pastor Craig mentioned earlier that I came out of this program, Bellevue Master's Commission. I was a student with them for a while and then on staff and then worked for the church as a whole. It's a discipleship program, and I decided really last minute to sign up for that. And like I said, I just, that last summer before starting Master's Commission was just a really terrible summer for me. Me just chasing things. Well, maybe this will make me feel good about myself. Maybe this will make sense of who I am. You know, maybe this will make me feel loved. But at the end of it, I just kind of hit rock bottom. I was drinking, which at the age of 18 is really illegal, and doing that without my parents' consent or their knowledge, and I was sneaking out and just lost. Like I said, chasing something that would make me feel fulfilled. And I woke up one morning just 2 weeks before I was supposed to be going to a school in Seattle. And the clearest I've ever heard God speak to me, he said, "You need to go to Master's Commission." And I was like, "Absolutely not, no way. That's in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm going to New York, going to Seattle, going to LA, somewhere besides, you know, the Midwest. That is not for me." But it was so clear, "You need to go to Master's Commission." And I was like, "All right, if I disobey, I know that I'm going to be miserable." So I signed up. It was crazy. God provided all of the finances for me to go. It was like $4,000 or $5,000. I mean, like, those telltale, like, those stories of provision, like, getting a random envelope in the mail of money, and no one knew that I was even going. Like, it was crazy. God wanted me to be there. So I tell you all of this, this setup, because I decided, kind of last minute, hesitantly, that I was going to go into this and just try to be myself and to see what happened. Let my true self come out. Being an artist, being relationally driven. And I'm going to just let people see that and see what happens. And I'm so grateful for that first year especially, because God did something incredible there. Brought me into this community of men that were accepting and loving and wanted what was best for me, and allowed me to grow into what God was bringing me into, allowed me and pushed me and challenged me to grow into the man that God wanted me to be. I'm so thankful for that. And we as a church, we have an opportunity to create an environment like that of embracing people as they are and encouraging them to be the people that God has called them to be and to really support one another in that growth process. To be committed to one another in not only the most turbulent or dramatic times, but even in the everyday. The last thing that community is it's a time to receive when in need. Everybody knows those people that they always just give. They give, they give, they give, they give, they give. And God bless them. That's a huge part of what God has called us to do. But I'm so blessed by Pastor Craig and Rebecca in this season, because they've allowed the body, and we still need to do so, but they've allowed us to meet needs, to really reach out to them, to pray for them, to be with them through this process. It's easy to get in the mindset of only ever being about others. And I don't want you to hear me wrong, because that's primarily what today is about, is being a body that is about others. But community also is for you. And it's a time and an opportunity for you to receive, whether that be emotionally, physically, or spiritually. And lastly, for community, it's an opportunity to share what you have. We're going to go into that more in depth. On point number two, it says that we are encouraged to contribute. So that first whole thing was just about being community, that we're called to community. We're encouraged to contribute. And I chose this word encouraged because the reality of it is that no one's going to force you to contribute. No one's going to force you to join a group or to help out with a ministry, or to be a better father or mother or sister or brother. No one's going to force you to be a better student. to be a better family, but God wants us to be encouraged to contribute. I'm going to contribute to my family because I want to. Community is about so much more than just meeting together for the benefit of oneself, but it's a chance to contribute what you have. So how do you contribute? 2 Corinthians 8:1-5. I love this passage. It's a little long, so bear with me. It says, "My friends, we want you to know that the churches in Macedonia have shown others how kind God is. Although they were going through hard times and were very poor, they were glad to give generously. They gave as much as they could afford and even more, simply because they wanted to. They even asked and begged us to let them have the joy of giving their money for God's people, and they did more than we had hoped. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us, just as God wanted them to do." Then Paul goes a step forward, because that's about the Macedonians. He's talking about something that had already happened. And he asked the same of the Corinthians to who he was writing. Titus was the one who got you started doing this good thing. So we begged him to have you finish what you had begun. The reality of it is that you have something to give. And God wants you to use that to serve one another. I love that this is a giving church financially. That's one way to give. But another version of this verse that I love says that they gave according to their means. That means what they had, they gave. God has called us, just as he called the Corinthians and the Macedonians in this verse, to give according to our means. In 1 Peter 4:10-11, it says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles to God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever." This verse expands on it, expands on giving to be beyond just giving financially. But like I said earlier, everyone has something to give. So what do you have? Is it time? Is it wisdom? Compassion? Energy? That's one thing I bring. I know that God has gifted me a lot of energy, and sometimes I've been placed in positions where that's my job. Josh, just bring the energy. All right. I can do that. But what do you have? God has placed something in your hands that he's called you, encourages you, challenges you to contribute. And I'm not just talking about your groups, because that's, you know, what I'm in charge of at this church. I'm talking about in your ministries and your families, if you're a student, your classrooms. God has called you to contribute something. So I would challenge you to go into those groups, go into your families this week with the contributing mentality. Contributing your thoughts, your love, contributing your time, your ears, listening. But don't just go into those things just to participate. Go to contribute. It requires us to think and to do intentionally. We can't just hear this verse and say, oh, that's great for people who are called to ministry. The reality of it is that it applies to us all. No one is exempt from having something to give. No one is exempt from the invitation to give. In Romans 1:11-12, it says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." And I would challenge you to really ask yourself, as we talk about these three facets, are my relationships that way? Mutually encouraging each other's faith? Building each other's up? Am I contributing? That's hard. Preaching to the choir here. So when I really think about it, I have a lot of shallow relationships, opportunities where I can go further and grow in my ability to pour into the people that God has surrounded me with. And lastly today, the third facet is that we are welcomed into fellowship with Christ. The most important aspect of community is to first and foremost have community with Jesus. I love 1 Corinthians 1:9. It says, God is faithful. Amen. We could stop there. I have a response. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, man. Hallelujah. We were called into fellowship of his Son. That is incredible that we have the opportunity to be called into fellowship with the creator of the universe. I minimize that all the time in my life. When I let it dawn on me, just the magnitude of that, how incredible of an opportunity it is that I am called into fellowship. The Greek word for fellowship here is koinonia, which literally means partnership, participation, benefaction, fellowship, communion. We are invited into partnership with the one true King. And I love that. So there you have it. We're called to community. We are encouraged to contribute, and we're welcomed into fellowship with Christ.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.